Thank you, Mr. Springer. Good afternoon, everyone. Good to see you all. I'm very much enjoying these short breaks, and then another Sabbath comes along. Hello, everyone on the webcast as well. Hello? Have you ever worked on something and wondered if the results would stick? Ever put a lot of effort into some task and the results appeared to work for a time, but then shortly after it went right back to not working? Maybe it felt like that time had been wasted. Ever expended so much effort into something, but then we never really know whether it will last or make a difference? It can make us not even want to try. If we feel nothing is lasting or effort doesn't matter, it can be very discouraging to think that way. Now, we know as humans that everything physical passes. Nothing's meant to last forever in this life. Money fails. Our bodies don't last. So what does last? One of the most encouraging concepts in our understanding of God's word is some things, spiritual things, are everlasting. We know there's life after death. We know our mind remains with us into the kingdom. So on one hand, this life feels passing, and very few physical things we do make a difference or last over the long run. But we also know from God's word we're investing in something that will last forever. Our works done today do have a lasting impact on ourselves and on others. It is true, physical life doesn't last. Things sown physically only in this life only last a certain amount of time and often can pass into memory. But there are things everlasting. Every fruit that we bear, every spiritual fruit, is a permanent thing. It remains. It lasts. It never passes. The title of this message is Fruit That Lasts. Fruit that lasts. Not just like an apple that lasts forever, but spiritual fruit that lasts. Purpose of this message is to encourage us that even when life and elements of life feel like nothing makes a lasting difference or that effort can be forgotten, we can learn to see that bearing spiritual fruit lasts. It remains. Spiritual fruit is this everlasting product created, transcending this life, and it goes with us to the kingdom. But, you know, look around and we see physical things not lasting so often. We see investment in a physical thing so often passing. Now, Solomon in Ecclesiastes, with all of his wisdom, was also struggling with these concepts, understanding the point of good, the point of bearing fruit. And he was discouraged somewhat by the wasting and passing whenever these labors were done. Let's go there first. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 1 and see his mindset. Ecclesiastes 1, and we'll read verses 12 through 15. Ecclesiastes 1, and we'll read verses 12 through 15. Ecclesiastes 1, and we'll start in verse 12. It says, I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that it's done under heaven, this burdensome task God has given to the sons of men by which they may be exercised. I've seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind. Verse 15, what is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be numbered. So Solomon here, while he was filled with wisdom from God, he didn't have the full spiritual understanding of things like we do today. He was looking at the calling of all mankind, the work God's given to all humans on earth, not specifically the work given to the saints. Yes, true, work done in this physical life can be. It can be grasping for wind sometimes. There are elements to mankind we know will never be changed until God's kingdom, like the governments, the injustices, the mistreatments, how good and evil sometimes go to the same place, as Solomon says, and God allows things in this life. Physically, we can work our entire lives and then be cheated out of physical things that would be deserved. These are physical concepts and can be very discouraging, as I'm sure Solomon was feeling, as we'll see in the next few verses, how little we have control over the physical, that it isn't meant to last. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 2 in verse 11 to see more of his mindset. Solomon's mindset, Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 11. He says, then I looked on all the works that my hands had done and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. Now drop down to verse 17, Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 17. Therefore, he says, I hated life, because the work that was done under the sun was so distressing to me, for all is vanity and grasping for the wind. Verse 18, then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun. He wasn't in a great place at the time he was writing that. If the words we just read here from Solomon are all we as humans have to look forward to in this life, we'd be discouraged beyond belief. But he was talking from a purely physical standpoint. You know, things don't last. The profit under the sun of many labors, physically speaking, can be that vanity and grasping for the wind. It was distressing to him because it felt so passing to him. Now, we read these words of his and wonder if or how much he really understood spiritually about God and his way. But Ecclesiastes here is like a journey. He documents his mindset for us. And we don't think he had a complete spiritual understanding of things, but and the topic today, fruit that lasts, but he did come to a better understanding. So let's read a little bit more in Ecclesiastes 3. He did come to a better place, as we can see later in the book. Ecclesiastes 3, and we'll read verses 12 through 14. This is one of his conclusions of the matter. Ecclesiastes 3, 12 through 14. He says, I know that nothing is better than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Verse 14, I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. So even with the passing things that he was thinking about, he found there's nothing better for us than still to do good in our lives. That enjoying the good of our labor, even if it is passing and out of our control, it's a gift from God to be able to enjoy that, he says. And that whatever God is doing with us, it will be forever. So he's getting this sense that the good was a lasting thing. The good was a lasting fruit. Ecclesiastes is kind of a helpful book to read because it follows these very human thoughts that we might have in this unpredictable and physical life. God inspired him to understand how to think in this temporary life, avoiding the concerns of trying too hard to make the physical things last in this life, but focusing on bearing fruit that really will last. So again, that's where the topic comes in today. The concept of fruit that lasts. We aren't trying to secure a lasting physical inheritance in this life, to fight off the moths and the rust that constantly builds in these physical things. But there's things we can invest in today that God appointed us to do, to bear fruit, and that lasts. Let's go to John 15. John 15 and verse 16. This is the scripture that inspired the title, Fruit That Lasts. Let's read John 15 and verse 16. We were here in Passover season. One scripture, John 15 and verse 16. Jesus is telling them, "You did not choose me." John 15, 16. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain." The NIV in this scripture says, "So that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." Our fruit will remain. Notice that Jesus says first, "We did not choose him, but he chose us." He's referring to the apostles, right? But this can now refer to each one of us being chosen. We know no one can come to the Father except Jesus calls them. More importantly, part of our choosing, part of our calling is being appointed to go and bear fruit. It's preaching the gospel, of course. It's the process of conversion, bearing spiritual fruit. And we bear fruit with our good works, being a witness for God, and also in how we treat others, including the brethren. The focus today is that fruit will remain. We bear fruit that lasts. It's like the one permanent thing that we can do and build in this life. Everything else in this life, money and fame, power, gain, empires on earth, family lines, can fall apart with time. Thieves can take it from us, like the Bible says. Chance can steal it from us. So what we don't need to do is focus only on making or trying to make temporary physical things last, because it's just impossible in this life. But we can invest in things that really last. Let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, and we'll read verses 19 through 21. Just look at a few examples. Matthew 6, and we'll read verses 19 through 21. Probably going to say the word last in this sermon so many times you'll be tired of that word by the end. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. Jesus is speaking here, and he's telling us, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." We read this section sometimes related to being giving and not focusing on money, but it can apply to all things that we might attempt to preserve in this life, to make last. Laying treasure up in heaven, that's really that spiritual fruit. It's referring to what we can make last. One of the fruit from scriptures is being giving. It's investing in the coming kingdom by giving today. And like those moths and rust won't destroy that or steal that. It's because that fruit lasts, whether it's giving or any other spiritual work that we do. It's investing in the kingdom. As we're called to bear fruit and appointed to do so, every time we do that, we're making permanent changes in our character. And very often in the lives of others, there are these permanent positive things that we do, and they don't fade away. They don't fall off the list of our actions. They're recorded, and they're these lasting acts. Like, you feed your enemy, it has a lasting impact on their mind, even if it can take to the kingdom for them to see. There's a lasting impact to our own character by doing it, a spiritual act that becomes part of us permanently, even if in this life we're trashed physically for doing something in this life that isn't understood yet. We just invested in our character and in the kingdom. And we could go through lists and lists of spiritual acts, the fruits that we could bear. But it shows the lasting nature of spiritual acts means that no spiritual fruit is wasted. Nothing comes back empty spiritually because it's lasting. You forgave a parent, it lasts into the kingdom. We cared for the least of our brethren, which would be caring for Jesus. It has so many positive impacts and lasting impacts for that person, for us, and in addition to that, it glorifies God. It says earlier in John 15, and we won't turn there, but it says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." Every small spiritual act of bearing fruit lasts and glorifies God, like encouraging the brethren, like growing God's family, building our character. It's solidifying our place in the kingdom. Let's go to Revelation 14 and verse 13. We'll be touching on a few encouraging scriptures and some pitfalls. Revelation 14 and verse 13 is an encouraging scripture. Revelation 14 and verse 13. Encouraging scripture. "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me," John, this is John in his revelation, "write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." Their works follow them. We have a short time on this earth, and our calling and appointment is to bear much fruit in that short time. And those fruits, those spiritual labors, once we rest from them, which we'll all do, our works will follow us to the kingdom. Nothing is lost of those things. There is no wasted work. What an encouragement. Let's try to make a visual analogy that might help. Many scriptures that refer to our bodies as temples of God. Jesus dwells with us. The church is the temple of God, and we are being built together in the church as a temple will be built. And if we are the temple of God personally, individually, each one of us, maybe we can visualize inside of us a temple being built. And it looks different through our spiritual lives. It starts as a temple with the foundation being Jesus Christ, and then the walls are started. And then as we mature and grow and bear spiritual fruit, the temple is being built up. Stones are added to those pillars as it's being built up. Each fruit born in our lives adds to our temple inside. Perhaps, you know, the physical nature of our bodies is going to deteriorate, but each fruit we bear adds more to that temple. And those are very lasting things, the spiritual building we're doing. So then we're faced with the next time we have a chance, when we're faced with the next time we have a chance to either bear fruit or to miss that opportunity, we can think about that fact that we're being appointed to bear fruit. It glorifies God when we do, and it lasts. So we ask ourselves, are we diligently building that temple? Are we diligently bearing that lasting fruit? Are we remembering that each one adds that permanent block to what we're building? Whether we do it to a stranger or to our brethren. Now, even though we're past the Passover examination this year, this visualization could potentially help us in future years. How is our temple when we think about it? Are we diligently bearing fruit so the temple is growing daily? Will it be complete when Jesus returns? Even if it's halfway there, that's still a very positive thing to think about. We're called to bear fruit, and that lasts. But now let's look at our first pitfall, a dangerous pitfall that we should avoid, in Malachi 3 and verse 14. Let's go to Malachi 3 and verse 14. These are words that were given to ancient Israel. But are also very helpful lessons for us. Malachi 3 and verse 14. This is describing what those people said back then. Malachi 3:14 says, "You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we've walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts?" Someone said that back then, and that's one of the worst places we can find ourselves. If we equate the passing physical nature of this life with that spiritual fruit that we could be bearing, and make that justification that they did in Malachi, that it's useless or it profits nothing, that's one of the worst judgments we can come to. A person saying that has missed the lasting nature of bearing spiritual fruit. They've become blinded to that lasting spiritual nature of works. And all they see then is the physical. For example, if they show mercy and the other person just stabs them in the back for doing so, all they would see is the physical. They wouldn't see the spiritual building blocks being added to their temple because of that work, or even the future coals that would be on that offender's head after doing the right thing in return. They wouldn't see the glory that it would bring God in his way. And that pitfall of thinking everything's useless would start out as just discouragement, which we definitely all face. So then the way to beat this pitfall is to always look for the lasting spiritual side of whatever work is done. Did we forgive someone? Of course it's not useless. There's profit both in this life for our conversion and when that person has their chance at reconciliation and understanding. Did we give to another at our expense? It is not useless. Glorifies God. It glorifies our trust in him. And then we add another spiritual block to our temple and invest where that moth and rust won't decay. Now, we often do not see the spiritual impact or lasting nature of our spiritual works. But later, sometimes we are privileged to hear how a person was impacted by our words and maybe chose a new path. Because of our spiritual work, potentially because of our spiritual work, if only we could see the spiritual temples within each other, within ourselves, but also within each other, within every person. If we could, we could see the building up that we do of people. We could see their temple being stronger because of a spiritual work done for them. We could see the lasting impact of even speaking with a child. We could see the potential in every human being and even a seed planted when a spiritual work impacts them. We could see that, if only. But alternatively, and a cautionary tale, we could also see the damage done when we're careless or by being careless or how we might treat strangers, future children of God, even our brethren. But without being able to see these things, it can feel as though some of those spiritual acts are maybe useless or in vain or don't make a difference. There is no impact. We could potentially think that way, either for ourselves or for others. And that's where the discouragement can come in, and ultimately, if not careful, it can lead to that dangerous mindset in Malachi. But we can encourage ourselves with God's word. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Another encouraging scripture. First Corinthians 15. I mean, we know this scripture very well related to the resurrection and the encouragement there. But then we're given a therefore at the end of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So these are words. We have to trust this. So some of this we have to take in faith from God, that the spiritual fruit we bear lasts. Here we're encouraged to always abound in the work, knowing it's not in vain. It's a lasting work. But still, wouldn't we love to see how God sees us, to see inside, to see those lasting impacts, the spiritual building going inside in each of us? So this topic today, being appointed to bear fruit and the lasting nature of that spiritual fruit, does this only apply to those in their prime physically among us? To those overflowing with strength and energy? Do we mistakenly think that bearing spiritual fruit needs physical strength or physical methods? Like a question, a child can't bear spiritual fruit, right? Because they can't cook meals for others, can't speak at church, and they can't really feed the poor. But that's wrong, because even a child is known by their actions. Mr. Springer's sermonette is very memorable. Their spiritual fruit is also lasting. Even before being baptized, it's building a character that will mesh with God's Spirit later in their lives. And anyone's kindness, a spiritual fruit to others, can affect generations. I mean, think of the impacts in human history that one act of kindness can have over generations of families. But what about those of us who are older and admittedly have much less ability to do physical things? It could also be easy to think that we can't bear spiritual fruit anymore because we're limited so physically. But one of the most encouraging ideas is that being limited physically doesn't impact this. The physical things are passing in this life, and spiritual fruit is what really lasts. And it can be born by anyone at any physical age. Even in our older years, we're still appointed to bear fruit. Spiritual works, even late in life, that fruit lasts forever. It's the works that we do for our children, for strangers. It's the prayers that we make. A kind word, encouragement to others, fasting before God, building our temple within, a witness for God. All of these things are things that we all can do. Every generation comes and goes, but for many in this room, we aren't limited physically yet by our own bodies. So for another subgroup of us, the opportunities expand further for bearing spiritual fruit, because there are spiritual fruits that manifest themselves in physical ways, such as helping others with food that was mentioned earlier in the sermonette, and with chores, with repairing things. If we have unique talents, we're able to bear unique fruit as well. It's one motivation to use your unique talents in order to do spiritual works. But there's another pitfall that can come in when it comes to bearing fruit, especially for those that don't have any physical limitations and that so far life has just been very, very good to us. One additional pitfall: Satan has a trick up his sleeve. He makes things like dissipation and entertainment and worldly ideas seem very, very enjoyable. And he gives a false sense that many of these things can benefit us in a lasting way. Let's go to Mark 4. Let's go to Mark 4 and verse 7. We're going to read a section of the parable of the sower. Mark 4 and verse 7. We're going to read a portion of the parable of the sower just to see this strategy that Satan has. We'll read Mark 4 and verse 7 to start. Mark 4 and verse 7, we're just going to break into the parable of the sower and read just about the thorns, the seed that's sown among thorns. Mark 4 and verse 7, "And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop." And then later in the chapter, that's explained in verses 18 and 19. Here's the explanation of what that means. Mark 4, verse 18. "Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things," Luke's account says, "pleasures of life, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." So we can ask ourselves, are we the good example from the parable of the sower, the one where seed is received on good ground, hearing the word, then bearing fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100? Or do we allow conditions in our lives that tend us toward the choked by thorns category that keep us from bearing much fruit? Now, please understand, I'm going to mention some examples. I'm going to make a huge disclaimer here. Entertainment is not bad. There are lots of spiritual fruit born in our lives by sharing physical fun and entertainment together, especially in families. So much positive relationship building that we can do. But especially when we pursue entertainment by ourselves, when it takes a severe precedence over bearing that lasting spiritual fruit, those dissipations and entertainment he uses can have very little lasting value for us. Certain things can choke the word in our lives and then bring that temple building to a slow crawl. Now, we all have typical cares and the need for money and desires in this life, and even simple pleasures, and that's fine. We have those. But as soon as we allow those to be self-centered or driven by the wrong motivation over bearing spiritual fruit, then what are we really investing in? Well, Satan tries his best to trick us into thinking that many of these things really, these things that really are dissipation or really are passing or grasping for the wind, that those things have some lasting value or urgent need right now in this life, or they're enjoyable enough in their passing qualities that we're getting something beneficial from them. He can try to make us believe that. I'm going to give a personal example. Video games, for instance, I can't tell you how many times I've spent hundreds of hours in my younger years grinding in games and building up characters and building up to achieve goals. And at the time, it seems like we're building something. But then the game ends, or the system breaks, or a mistake is made, and a game save file corrupts. And all that effort, designed to be fun in the process, has no lasting results. So how much better to build real character? But it's not just video games. And again, please understand, I'm not saying no video games. But if we, but we all understand the difference. We understand the difference between leisure, social use, and the extreme wasteful time that many in the world invest in these types of things. But there are other cares in this life. And again, please understand that there are many wise and appropriate uses of time that are cares of this life. Planning for finances, family planning and building, upkeep of property, use of the land. But it is possible to invest too much time in physical-only concerns, where that moth and rust corrupt and thieves break in and steal. For instance, like if we had 90% investing in a physical thing and only 10% investing in our spiritual works. There are cares in this life worthy to be invested in, but never worthy to choke that appointed fruit bearing, that lasting spiritual fruit bearing. To be kings and priests, spiritual fruit is the only lasting currency. Whenever those cares of life are prioritized too much over the permanent spiritual fruit, it will slow down that temple building inside of us. So then, those cares of life, those planning our money things, those pastimes and hobbies we have, we don't have to completely give them up. We don't. But we should keep our focus away from self, like plan money for others, which is a spiritual outgoing fruit, or focus helping others with cares of life, or focusing our pastimes on lifting others or including others. In a way, we're making everything spiritual. We can keep an outgoing spiritual focus in those cares and desires of life. It's a way to make those things last. Again, the topic today, fruit that lasts, our appointment to bear fruit, it's the one permanent thing we can build and do. We can't talk about bearing fruit without reviewing the fruit of the Spirit. Let's go to Galatians 5. Now, we won't do an in-depth study on every characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit, but it's helpful to discuss their lasting nature. Now, before we read the fruit, let's quickly go through the works of the flesh first. It's listed right before the fruit of the Spirit. But Galatians 5 and verses 19 through 21, we'll just read through. Some of these have lasting impacts too, the works of the flesh. Galatians 5, it's helpful to read through these. Galatians 5 and verses 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty lasting. So after reading these works of the flesh, We can also see that spiritual works, good or bad, are lasting. They're more than physical. These have lasting impacts on us and others. But it is very important to include now, God offers complete forgiveness and will wash away any work of the flesh, these anti-spiritual fruit here. Our good spiritual fruit will last forever, and God has promised to forget and wipe away and wash us from these bad spiritual works that would have been lasting, that would have kept us from the kingdom. So thankfully, even what would have been lasting negatively, it's been made temporary, made passing, because of that forgiveness that we have available. Now, before we read the fruit of the Spirit, which is coming up, we can also see clearly from this list, we can see temporary, passing physical things that are the motivations of all these works of the flesh. For instance, in adultery and fornication, the motivations are these passing temptations and unfaithfulness. Motivation is totally physical and a passing thing, not a lasting thing, the motivation for these works. Or the selfish ambitions. The motivation is based on gaining a temporary physical thing. Envy and jealousies, again, based on these temporary physical motivations that don't last, these passing things. Hatred and murders, again, motivated by temporary, not lasting things. They don't gain us anything lasting. So when we think of the pride of life and the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes, these are all motivated by temporary wants and physical things that don't last. So if we can remember how unlasting the motivations are for these works of the flesh, then that can help us avoid them. But now let's go to the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, the spiritual fruit that we can bear, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Consider each characteristic for a bit, just in how permanent and lasting they can be versus the physical. As we pictured earlier in our message, as we're building that temple within, or God is building that within us, we can picture these nine virtues in us that we're building them up. Picture, if you would, a temple within us, a circular one with nine pillars representing the nine fruit of the Spirit. As we bear spiritual fruit in our lives on that foundation of Jesus Christ, as we demonstrate that spiritual fruit showing Jesus is working with us, we build those pillars up. We improve. We build the temple using the fruit of the Spirit. We fill in gaps within that temple. We're building a stronger and stronger temple as we do it. We're adding height to it. It's a lasting thing. It's not you do it once and then it's gone and you have to do it again. We're building up upon what we built before. We add blocks to it. And we can picture this. It's a thing that we could potentially picture and visualize. By demonstrating these fruit, these have lasting effects for others, too, who receive them. Our children and strangers, our brethren, and in the church, we build each other up. There's a concept called the ripple effect. Every example in the Bible, every example of the church, every personal example of ours has a ripple effect. And whether we like it or not, there's a ripple effect. It can be good or bad. So a ripple effect is defined as the continuing and spreading results of an event or action. Now, whenever you're near a river or a beach or a lake, There's a way to throw a pebble in the water where water ripples out as the pebble hits it. And it can ripple for a very far distance. If you've ever seen this, it's amazing how it works in the water. And especially when there's an earthquake in the middle of the ocean, thousands of miles away from a beach, it causes a small ripple in the ocean, and yet it travels thousands of miles to a tidal wave. Just like that, spiritual fruit ripples. There's a ripple effect. Think of the possible ripple effects that a spiritual fruit has in every interaction. Like, this fruit doesn't occur naturally on the earth. It's this witness of a higher power. Each one lasts. Like, peace is conquering hate. Love is conquering hate. The fruit of the Spirit conquers sorrow as the world sorrows. The fruit creates peace in situations where it would seem impossible. It comforts others. Those people that are affected can ripple effect to other people around them. And then might even be called by God. Now, unfortunately, just as we can't see the temples being built up in others, we can't see the ripple effects that might happen from our actions. But we can trust God that there is a ripple effect in the same way, that each lasts and affects others as he's promised. We can think about situations where this can occur. We'll touch on a few biblical examples, but just think about how our own families are immediately affected. The biggest ripple is going to be our own families that are affected immediately by our spiritual works. But as far as biblical examples, think of the woman who poured perfume on Jesus' feet. It was added to the Bible permanently as a memorial to her, and now who knows how many ripple effects that's had on people. Remember how Paul spoke of joy and rejoicing even in all the trials he had and the ripple effect that would have on people in his congregations. Remember the peace that Abigail made with David after her husband insulted and had a ripple effect on him specifically so that he didn't lose self-control. Remember the long-suffering of Job and being recorded in the Bible, his words, and the ripple effect of his story on us now and on anyone who reads that. Remember the faith of Zadok and his priestly line who stayed faithful, and the ripple effect in his family, generation to generation, who stuck with the truth. We can remember Moses and his gentleness with Israel on so many occasions, and David and his self-control when dealing with Saul, another fruit, how much that impacted Israel, but then also his lack of self-control, and that's ripple effect on the nation. God always takes our small offerings and turns them into something bigger. When we do something good in God's name, however small or insignificant that act may look to us or to others, it has the capacity to create that ripple effect, touching other people and drawing them closer to God. It's something that we can rely on and know that's there. And no matter our age, we are called and appointed to bear fruit. And since these are spiritual things, they last. Of all the things in life, very little seems permanent. Very little work appears to last or make a difference. But there is this one permanent thing that we can build inside us and inside others. And it's bearing spiritual fruit. Each act is written in permanent ink. Each spiritual work is recorded, and our works then follow us to the kingdom. As we start to wrap up, let's go back to John 15 and reread our title scripture in John 15, and let's make one final point. Knowing our fruit will last is one helpful strategy to ensure we continue to bear much fruit and that we allow God to complete that process within us and build that temple within us that he started. Let's go to John 15 and verse 16. We'll reread that and then one more scripture. John 15 and verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and their fruit should remain. Again, the NIV, so that you go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. But now, drop back to verses 4 and 5 in John 15. A very important final point to conclude with. John 15, and we'll read verses 4 and 5. Jesus is speaking and saying, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing," he says. So unless we are close to God and completely abiding within Jesus Christ, that true vine, even the strategies and visualization we discussed today won't succeed. It's only our desire to completely reshape our lives to abide with Jesus that we can then do these spiritual works, bear this lasting spiritual fruit. And we are all appointed to do this and can bear spiritual fruit at any age. So as we conclude, think about building that temple within. And think about every one of the ripple effects that God will reveal to us when we're in the kingdom.